We're back. You ready? Tim and Sid. Hour number three. Swag!
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Tim McAuliffe. This is Tim and Sid. Primetime Sports' Bob McCowan is next. The Raptors open up the 2013-14 season this evening, live here on the radio side. Boston Celtics in town. Guys will be calling it. Smith and Jones in studio. Paul Jones, Eric Smith. Eric Smith dressed like a Canadian senator.
Just I'm dressed better than a Canadian senator.
So, well, at least write any of it off?
At least I got Brazil.
And I paid for it with my own money.
For hey-o, senators.
Dude, we've been working together 9 years. 9 years.
I never look so good.
You look like you're ready for the top of a wedding cake right now. Man. Like that's people on TV, on radio can't see that, but
if it pays, I'll go on top of somebody's cake.
Did you?
I'll even jump out of one.
Easy. was that a?
Yeah, I went
a sponsor
and,
cut.
I went and I said, "Give me the Adam Levine." No,
you will be loved.
I don't know. I just said to Sid, this is the first time I think I actually can say I got a hairdo, not a haircut. That you know what I mean? So like nice. Usually, yeah. You know how it is. Well, maybe YouTube, but no. You know how it is. No. You go in and you get your hair cut.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm starting to have some issues on the back, so we need to start getting a little creative with things.
McAuliffe saw me walking away the other day, and he goes, Sid, I think you're thinning up top and back.
Well, I asked him if it was the gel or if he was actually losing hair.
Am I thinning?
Don't ask E. That's a sensitive question.
I will say, first of all, I am thinning. So, thus, I'm not just throwing you under the bus.
Stop making this about you.
Yeah, you're thinning.
Not the answer I wanted. Not the answer I wanted.
We can both say confidently, don't worry about it. You're both fine looking.
I've been looking like the San Diego Padres old mascot for years. Like, don't worry about it.
Paul Jones, Eric Smith in studio. All right.
I'm 17 at Sawgrass at the Island Green.
Very good. Game one, Raptors tonight. Gentlemen, Jonesy, start with you. What are you most looking forward to about this season?
The cookies at 2 o'clock on the charter. No, just kidding. They sit right
in front
of us.
Cookies here in the studio.
Jonesy, the donut king.
I'm looking forward to watching the starters as a group because they really started to come on at the end of last year. And I'm looking forward to see if they can carry that over. Because right now, I think that's the group that Dwayne Casey's going to have to ride. And if they're together and they're playing well, this team could win a lot of games.
I would piggyback on that, but I would also say I'm looking forward to the first 20 to 25 games of the season. And I would have said that yesterday or a week ago as well. I think I did say that a week ago. Not just because of what's been written today in a lot of the season previews. I think a lot of what ultimately is going to dictate the next or even preface the next hour of this conversation, let alone the rest of the season ahead, is predicated on the first 20, 25 games. I think if this team is at near or dare I even say above 500, this team in February, let alone in April, will look largely the same and maybe be added to for a playoff run for the years to come. If it's well below 500 or we're not seeing positive strides taken and dare I even fathom to think about another 4-19 start like last year, the team on Christmas Day, in January, let alone the trade deadline, is going to look entirely different. Thus, I mean, if you were to ask me right now what I'm looking forward to, if your next question is, how many wins do you think? Do you think they can make the playoffs? If it's this team and it stays together, yes. But if it's, you know, blown up after 20, 25 games because the team gets off to a rough start, then no, because it's not going to be this team. Yeah.
Raptors Roundtable, it's Smith and Jones in with McAuliffe and Sixero. So then, is there any one player in the NBA more tied to his team's immediate future and direction than that of Rudy Gay and the Toronto Raptors?
I'd be hard-pressed to think of another one. And I throw DeMar DeRozan in that mix, too. And I heard a caller mention earlier, and I thought it was a pretty decent point. It was on Blair's show.
A caller?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Outstanding point raised.
He had me a good point. I knew it was Blair's show.
Well, you didn't take any callers today, right? So I didn't hear any. But, you know, trust me, we've heard enough callers over the years on the rap that there are good and bad. The point was raised about building around DeRozan. and the fact that he's always kind of been that sort of secondary piece. Could he be a lead dog? And has he been given the opportunity to have a team built around him, or at least with him being one of the main pieces? Because for years it was Andrea Bargnani is the number one pick, and he's the number one guy, and we're going to build around him. We're trying to get pieces around him. Obviously, before that, it was Bosch. Now you've got a team around DeRozan that arguably Rudy Gay is even better than, or at least adds to what DeRozan can be. Throw in a young center that many people believe could be a future all-star and an anchor for the Raptors for, you know, the next decade. Do you owe it to him, to them as a collective unit, to give it more than just 25 games?
Well, there you go. And that's what people, for all the people that are talking about, you know, blowing it up, why don't you see what they have? And I think that's what Masai Ujiri wants to see. And you talk about DeRozan, he's at the perfect time right now. And I keep saying this. He came out of college. There was AAU, 1 year of college, and then to the NBA. Back in the day, when guys actually went to school for 3 or 4 years, when they came out at 22, 23, and they learned how to play for 2 or 3 years, rookie, sophomore, advancing as a young vet, now you're 26, 27, and that's when you get it. DeMar's like 24, 25 now. Like, he's been here for 5 years. He's gone through that. He understands. I mean, you listen to him talk in the preseason. You watch him play. This kid really, really gets it now. And he's still 24. And so, as Eric said, give him a chance to move forward with his group. And if it doesn't work, then you know somebody will say, we'll take him. Because you've developed him, and he's ready to go now. And is he ready to go for you and what you can put around him, or somebody else if you decide you're going to go in another direction?
Okay, but here's the counter to that, because both of you bring up DeMar DeRozan, and I'm right there with you. However, for the last 3 years, we've been waiting for DeMar DeRozan to have his break. Every preview that I've read for the last 3 years has said, hey, DeMar DeRozan could break out this year. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that he's on the verge of
He's gotten
depends
better,
on,
though.
Yeah, it depends on what you consider a breakout. I think he's going to break. If the team's good this year, I think he's going to break out because he's going to get that notoriety.
Right.
That's what some people base the breakout on. He was top 25 last year, free throws attempted.
Top 10.
He was a top 20 scorer.
Top 20 scorer.
So it's consistency is what everyone's looking for, right?
It is. And if the team around him wins, all those years, Bosch was here putting up great numbers, could never make an all-star team. Why? Team wasn't any good.
Right.
And they use the anybody can score 20 points on a bad team. Are you a good player on a bad team, or just the guy on the bad team that's allowed to take all the shots?
Right.
Paul Jones, Eric Smith in studio. Raptors season opener is tonight. Celtics and the Raps. You can hear it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You're really clutching onto that last piece of donut there.
And you know what? He took my second favorite. I grabbed the first one.
Like, you're really pretending like you didn't eat the rest of the donut by holding on to the last piece.
You know, it's odd.
It's like the cartoon character's got the cigarette hanging out his mouth still talking.
Yeah, rare. Eric, starting with you. Whose team is this? Who's a leader?
Undetermined.
Based on what I just heard, I was expecting a bit more DeMar right off the front, but I'm not hearing that.
I'll tell you what, I've been impressed with, I think the off season and the full training camp has given Rudy Gay more of a sense of home. This is my team now. This is where I am, as opposed to just being the new guy last year. So I would say, based on tenure, I think he's probably a little bit ahead in terms of the years of experience and thus having maybe a little more experience as being the lead dog and the vocal guy, in spite of the fact that he's not really a boisterous kind of guy. But it might be close to 1A and 1B. Those would be the top two guys. I think because of the time that he missed last year, and then the sort of battle that went on between Calderon and Lowry when he was healthy, I think Kyle Lowry isn't quite that guy yet, but definitely has the personality to be and could ultimately leapfrog both of those guys, DeRozan and Gay, if he stays healthy, stays on the floor, is logging the minutes, and is your every day, every night point guard for 82 games. I think he's got it in him. And that's the kind of guy you might want, too, because I think as much as he and Casey Jonesy last year were oil and water at times, I think at the end of the day, Lowry has a personality and a style that very much fits what Dwayne Casey would want if they truly are.
Just got to get him
page.
On board. Yeah. And I mean, I look at Rudy in a sense, I got him in my bag, some clutch numbers when the game is on the line, you know, two possessions, less than a minute to go, 30 seconds, plus or minus three. Rudy Gay is a top 10 scorer. He's a money guy. So you would naturally have to look for, I mean, look at when he came in February. He makes three shots to win games in the first, you know, in the first two weeks that he's here. Now, that being said, DeMar is up there too. He's just behind Rudy. And that, I think that's one of the issues that really held this team back last year. They were in the top five in most games, plus or minus five with a minute to go. Most games, or number four, most games, plus or minus three, 30 seconds to go. So it's about closing it out. And you've got a guy like Rudy who can do that. You got a guy like DeMar who's learning how to do that. And as Eric said, you have a guy, if he's not too cavalier with the ball and doesn't take chances at the wrong time, I think you got a guy like Kyle Lowry that has the right attitude to help you get it done too.
Still to come, how good can Jonas Valanciunas be? The best and worst of the NBA. And Sid, you got company. Not only is our boy Smitty looking good, but I just looked down at the cufflinks.
Oh, yeah.
And the cuffs.
Oh.
Of one Mr. Jones.
Oh, yeah. He's monogrammed.
Lance.
Yeah. Throw it up. Let him, Jonesy, don't be shy with it.
Yeah.
Let
Show
him see. Up. Throw him up.
Let me see the NBA cufflinks too.
No, let's see. Oh no, up, Jonesy. You're being way shy.
Okay.
Way
get
shy.
It up there. And get one more.
High. One more time.
I feel like John Carlos right now.
NBA cufflinks. Look at that.
In your mouth.
20 seconds longer than it should have taken, but we got there.
And what does the monogram say? PFJ? Yeah.
Once again, when we come back.
I feel like we're in a Super Bowl truck.
When we come back.
Cow.
Valanciunas, the best and the worst of the NBA. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and 360.
Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You want to be starting something?
The Raptors are starting their season tonight. It's a basketball roundtable. Tim McAuliffe, Sid Zaccaro, joined by Eric Smith and Paul Jones, who will have the call tonight. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Raptors face the Celtics, who embark on a new era with a complete rebuild, and the Raptors aren't sure whether or not another one is in order in Toronto. I won't get down that road
yet
because we'll have plenty of time if they start bad to go down that road. What I do want to know is how good you guys think that Valanciunas can be, because he had an interesting offseason. He was MVP of the Summer League and he helped Lithuania do some damage in the Eurobasket of the FIBA European Championships. How good can this kid be, Eric?
This year, or you mean?
Just period.
Period? I think he can be an all-star.
Yeah.
I think he can be very good.
You think he will be an all-star?
Yes. Yes. I don't know that he's a 20 and 10 guy, but can he be a double-double guy? Can he be a defensive presence? Can he be a nasty guy that fills the lane that people don't want to deal with?
Can he not be a guy to pick up two fouls in 7 minutes?
That's yes. The rookie thing. They still look at him. That's the perception thing. And by the way, I do have a comment on what young Mr. Bennett was talking about at some point, that for another show, but I agree with Eric. He can be an all-star because in this time and age of basketball, he's a throwback, which is unique. He's an old-fashioned big man. You can probably count him on one hand, the number of guys that can make a 12 to 15-footer, don't mind going into the low post, developing a back-to-the-basket game, rebound, patrol the lane, run the floor, just old-school big men. Now, every guy above 6'9".
Played right last night.
Every guy above 6'9" wants to, I want to stand outside and shoot threes.
Right.
Like Magic Johnson said it best the year that they moved the three-point line in to make it closer to the international line. He threw his hands up. He said, oh, man, now Vlade think he can make all of them. Mm-hmm. And that's where we've gone with basketball, because all the big guys want to be little guys.
Oh, even look at the Raptors in the preseason. Amir Johnson and Quincy Acey were jacking threes.
Yeah.
I mean,
Quincy Acey was due for that.
They've told him they want him to play more of that three. But back to the Valanciunas point, Timmy, he's old-fashioned like that.
Right.
And when you think about the East, why did Miami go get Greg Oden? Because they looked at Indiana and went, Hibbert, West, Scola, we need some help on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? Unless they, of course, keep taking Hibbert off the floor for the final 30 seconds to let LeBron just have a lane right through the...
and Brooke Lopez, too. Yeah.
Brooke Lopez. Yeah. Like, there's a few of them in the East. There's a few of them. Yeah. You know, Andrew Bynum, if he ever gets his hair cut.
We've got to stop referring. Andrew Bynum is not relevant until he plays 40 games in a row. Like, four. We need 40.
Four.
Yeah. 40 overselling.
On the 40 seconds.
On the 40 seconds.
You know, the thing with Valanciunas quickly as well, I think, and we talked about this in the preseason as well, Jonesy. I think defensively, he's pretty good already, and there's only room to grow and get even better, I think, but he's pretty good already. I think offensively, it's still a work in progress because you see some glimpses, but I think one of the main things that he has to do is realize that as big as he is, he's still very athletic for his size, and he could play above the rim a lot more than what he does right now. And again, he's 1 year into his career.
Yep.
And his teammates have to recognize that too, throwing those lob passes in the lane, trying to finish on alley-oops, just using that length and that size because he's not necessarily used to that traditionally with the European game. Come to North America and it's high-flying all over the place. Right. He can use that to his advantage. You think of those little, you know, tiny lob passes in the lane that look more like shots to Shaq, where Shaq was just throwing down crazy dunks in L.A. and all these big men that are utilized that way. There's no reason to me why you can't have DeRozan or Lowry or Gay coming through the lane, defense collapse, and it's a little teardrop.
And they work on that. You know, they're working on it.
But it's
Jamal
on Valanciunas.
Yeah.
It's on Valanciunas to start doing that as well, Jonesy, you know?
Because in Europe, he'd end up on his back because someone would just drill him. Well, that's the way the game's played.
The game's a little bit different,
Guys, give me a letter grade on the bench.
Now?
Yeah. Right now. After the preseason you saw.
Well, I would say INC, incomplete. I need to see more.
Principal.
Looks like my report card.
Yeah,
well. Wasn't that good. You don't have to do the horn thing. Wasn't that good.
There are some question marks there, but I want to see more because I know Dwayne Casey was looking at certain guys for certain roles, and I think that's the big... That's the big question mark right now. What are they going to get? Their starters are solid. What are they going to get out of the bench?
That's why I give them a C. Because I'm not. They weren't a D. They weren't a complete failure. But they weren't great either.
A D's a pass.
A
D's a pass. 50%.
Not in my house.
Not in mine either.
Hey,
but
I walk home with an 80. What happened to the other 20?
Yeah.
Whatever got me a Nintendo when I was a kid. That was my bar.
But I would say a C. Because you know what? Defensively, I think they're going to be fine and could be pretty good offensively. Man, if Terrence Ross doesn't score, I don't know where the offense is coming from.
Yeah, no one's getting it.
Outside of Steve Novak being a sharpshooter, but against depends on the opponent because you might not be able to have him on the floor for other aspects of the game if he can't, you know, defend or rebound and bring other things to the floor outside of his shooting. So if it's not Ross scoring, I don't know where the scoring's coming from.
That's why I think you really got to depend on those hybrid units. Maybe go 8-9 deep. Three starters on the floor with two dudes off.
Yeah, you're not throwing them over the boards.
No, right. So if Valanciunas gets those two quick fouls you talked about.
Okay, let's say it's three. So it's DJ, Hansbrough, Terrence.
I don't know if it's DJ. Well, is it DJ?
I think it is right now.
And then you can't forget because of his defense and his ability to guard. I mean, he did a good job in games against the Knicks last year. Carmelo, you can't forget
Landry Fields.
Landry Fields.
Yeah.
So 8-9, and then you start closing the gate.
We're all basketball fans in this room. We all grew up in metropolitan Toronto. We all come at it from different angles, whether it be age, whether it be Mississauga, Burlington, Scarborough. Has the Raptors' inability to capture any sort of momentum hurt the growth or the product in this city?
No. I'll say that as the oldest guy in the room. No.
Growth, I don't think so. Product, perhaps.
Product, yeah.
Well, a lot of that product's been drafted pretty high last few years, right? Right?
Well, yeah. And I would say that. Look, I live in suburbia now. I'm a city kid, right? Concrete jungle, like 15 minutes from the Dome, from the Rogers Center when I was a kid. You know, you could get the best teams in Ontario were right along St. Clair Avenue. Oakwood, St. Mike's, Runnymede. I mean, we'd go to Windsor for the Ontarios and play a team that we could have taken a streetcar to play 15 minutes. And kids are flocking to basketball. There was an article in Toronto Life magazine the other day about the popularity of basketball in Canada. And I think it's a lot of it is due to, one, the Raptors in Canada, but just the fact that I got a kid at home he's an Ottawa Senators fan. I got another one that's a Chicago Blackhawks fan, hockey-wise. I got one that's a Celtic fan. Why? Because they can turn on the TV every night and watch that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's hurt the growth. I think the fact that the team has sputtered has hurt the product. And then as a spinoff of that, has hurt us in what we do, because people look at the team and go, ah, call me when you're winning.
Right? Well, you think of the Toronto Blue Jays.
And we're not the Leafs.
Listen, I know you guys have probably said this as well, but
the Leafs are exempt from this conversation because hockey is hockey in this country.
Right. Well, the Jays.
And we can all acknowledge that even as a basketball fans, right?
Right. No, that's right. You think Jays in what, years 15, 16?
Yeah.
Back-to-back World Series championships. Yep. They haven't made the playoffs. Forget another World Series. They haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. But they're still living off. Now, granted, they don't have as much competition for their sport in the summertime, outside of the CFL maybe. But you don't have a team making the postseason for 20 years, yet television and radio ratings are still outstanding for the Jays. And I think you built this core fan base that stays with your team because you tasted that success. When you've made the playoffs five times in 18 years and you've missed the postseason for five straight years, and you have this perception or this reality that you haven't been able to retain your superstar players for longer than a couple of contracts, you know, I think that sort of has turned off the fan that's on the periphery. The hardcore fan is still watching. Yeah. He's still supporting. He's still caring.
Right.
But that dude in Saskatchewan or somewhere in some pocket in Ontario or out east, they're just saying, no, you know what? I'd win and I'll come back. I might even come back just because you're Canadian, but you got to win. I'm not just going to support you just for the sake of, you're Canadian.
And that's how you recruit. You're right, E. That's how you recruit the casual fan, the guy that's a little bit detached. When you're winning, they're able to overlook some of the things that can be looked at and the perceptions that can be looked at as a detriment.
Right.
You got to win.
But I, Sid, and back me up on this. We host a show. We do. You guys sat in this spot.
Yeah, but you guys are different. And I'll say this with...
How?
Because you are... As a kid, when I spent my summers in New York, it seemed like they would talk about the Rangers, and it was the same 18,000 people going to the game all the time. And the other people didn't really care. They cared about the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants and the Cosmos and everybody else.
Right.
But the Rangers. And once they start to win, now everybody jumps on board.
When it's 1994,
it's the same thing as the Raptors. That building's, look at the attendance.
Yeah, the attendance is amazing.
Attendance is amazing for a team that hasn't touched.
That sucks,
exactly.
Or has sucked.
And what happens is when you start to win, you start to recruit those fans. You guys are different. You're part of that 17,000 that would go if the team was 22-60 or 66-16.
You also were like a young fan of the sport and in the industry during the heyday of the team that lasted a very, very, very short window,
right.
that when they were getting a million people watching games and it was going through the roof, and they lost that window of opportunity and they're trying to get it back.
And network executives were changing their schedule to put Toronto on TV.
Right. American network.
American networks, because we in Canada have this inferiority complex that it's not good until Uncle Sam says it's good.
But there seems to be this gulf, and back me up on this, Sid, that there's 100,000 people watching the game, or not a ton of people watching the game on TV, and yet the participation numbers are huge, somewhat like soccer, and there's this golden generation of players that we have never seen before. Kelly Olynyk's coming in with the Boston Celtics after being drafted in the first round.
I'm with you. I think the audience is a lot bigger than it gets credit for from executives.
Don't start me.
Listen, I think you're bang on.
But they haven't been able to, they haven't been given a place to congregate.
Yes.
So do you know where they're congregating?
Online. Twitter.
You're bang on. And they're because the Raptors haven't been good, they can't congregate at the game. So they'll watch a little bit of the Heat last night taking on the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And all these little, they're being pulled away in different. And if the Raptors ever got good, those numbers.
A guy like Masai coming in sees that, because he's been on the inside to the outside, and now he's back in. It's like the coach who gets fired and steps back and looks. Now he comes back.
One of the first things to start.
Let's continue the conversation after the break. We got to go.
All right, go.
I'm sorry. Can we continue the conversation?
Oh, it's time for another donut. I'll be good.
Have another donut.
Koharski.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Another donut, Koharski.
And 360.
You fat pig.
Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Tonight, baby. Raptors. ACC.
That's bad basketball music right there for you.
Of course it is, but it's also kind of amazing, is it not?
So does that mean that the Raptors are going to use it as their
entrance? I was going to say, this might be the new intro.
Are you telling me, hold on, are you telling me Raptors up 3 minutes ago, timeout called, you won't see the dance back come up to something like this?
No.
Of course you will.
You do that too.
Yes,
well.
You will.
I will. No, I'm saying I don't want
to. Smith, what's the song they should be using? As soon as the timeout, we've been on this all
over. You dropped a bomb on
me. You dropped the bomb on me, the Gap Man. That's Memphis.
I love that track.
Boom.
It's like, I love that track.
You know what I think they should play during timeouts? Nothing. Let the crowd take it.
What are we, Nate Smith's barn? Playing with peach baskets?
Let the crowd take it. You don't hear them doing it in Boston.
Oh, yeah, they do.
New York.
Boston, they pump the phony sound in Boston.
That's the thing about Kevin Garnett going to Brooklyn, though, is you don't have to see that ridiculousness of him pounding on his chest and pointing up to the stands like he's Hulk Hogan or something, jacking up the crowd, and then the close-up of his face, and, you know, it starts spinning
around. I want to go to Boston this year and not see Gino. Yeah. I do not want to see Gino this year in Boston. You guys know the Gino tradition?
No. Who's Gino?
He's a dude from the 70s in American Bandstand. Got the long mullet haircut, the tight shirt, the platform shoes, and he's dancing away, and they only play it.
He's wearing a Gino Vanelli t-shirt.
And it says Gino on the front.
Nice. Hey, say Wild Horse.
And they only play it when the team's up, like, what, 20 or 20
something? With, like, in the last timeout, under 3 minutes. Right. So the game's in the bag. That's the victory cigar. And I actually have a video of it. Yeah. I should post it to Twitter. And Kevin Garnett out there looking at it going, yeah, Gino, go, baby. We won. So I do, every time we go to Boston, E, we see Gino, right?
Well, you won't see much of Gino this year, I'll tell you that much.
Better not.
You wanted to close, Sixero, and maybe Eric, too.
Oh, I won't close, because there'll be better thoughts.
Okay.
But just, I mean, remember one of the first things Tim Leiwicki said this past summer, when he was on this station, and when he was talking to the media, the basketball market in this country has not been serviced properly. And they have a huge market that they believe they can just rein in. And guys, I'll throw it out there. I don't know how much it would really take. I think you could start it with being relevant in February.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No, yeah. Just win, Sid.
I'm laughing because you're right.
You're right.
Like,
if you're ninth, you're on in it this like city, you'll be on the radar.
You're on it like Sixero on donuts.
Throw it up, Jonesy.
Great idea.
There it goes.
Is that two or
glazed
three?
Glazed in the face.
That's the hat trick right there.
Yeah.
That's the hat trick right
please.
There. Natural hat trick, because I don't think any one of us has touched any of the others.
What you should do is just rub that on your face.
You heard a Drake face? Drake hands? Glazed donut hands.
You know what? Right,
just very right. Quickly, you think of Twitter, Facebook, and the amount of blogs and chat rooms and forums and everything else. Raptor fans, basketball fans are all over the place. And I think when... And listen, I'll be the first to understand the business side and say, if the numbers aren't there, why am I going to put it on the main network? If the numbers aren't there, why am I going to make it a 2-hour show? I'll make it a 1-hour show. I get all that, because at the end of the day, you're still running a business on radio and television. And if you don't have a ton of sponsors, people aren't lining up, how are you going to make money? I get all that. But at some point, I think if you're going to maybe take the short-term loss to make the investment to hopefully get the long-term gain. Because otherwise, you know, I think right now the participation numbers, when you think about soccer and basketball being 1 and 2 ahead of hockey, that's saying that the kids are growing up playing the game. Is that because it's cheaper? Is that because it's more available? Is it because of the popularity of the sport with the young kids?
All of those.
But they're growing with the game. But I think in a industry that we work in, where we're largely more concerned about the 25 or 30 to 55 and not so much about the 15, 20, 25-year-old person, they're growing up with the sport playing it, but they're not growing up watching it or hearing it as much because they're maybe not being serviced the way that they would like to be, and they're finding other avenues.
I'm telling you, they better start servicing them, because those are the guys that are going to have money in 10 years, the disposable income.
Well, and plus everything we're doing these days is going online. Everything.
And it's the one thing. When the Raptors started, John Bitov said, we're having 7 o'clock games. You know why? So kids can come to the game and be home in time.
Right.
We're not doing, I heard you guys talking about your son not going to be able to see a World Series game until he's like 15, because they start at like 10 at night and they go till 1 in the morning.
Right.
I mean, they don't play in the afternoon anymore. You've got to do those kinds of little things, I think, to cultivate the young fan and the peripheral fan, even if you're, as you say, even if you're on TV, on radio in the non-peak times.
All right, let's do a little rapid fire to close out our Raptors roundtable for 2013-2014. You guys good with that?
Yes.
Let's do it.
The last 9 NBA champions and 14 of the last 15 have come from a group of 5 teams. The Heat, the Lakers, the Mavs, the Spurs, and of course the Celtics. Will that trend continue?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Oklahoma City Thunder,
no.
Do they?
No.
Who will win league MVP?
LeBron.
Unless he gets hurt, LeBron.
You know what? Based on that last statement, Kevin Durant. Give him a little love.
But you don't think that they'll win?
No, they'll lose in the first round.
It's ridiculous that Shaq only has one MVP. Really.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett, speaking of Canadians, speaking of basketball, first overall, is he your favorite to win Rookie of the Year? And if not, would you say it on radio in Toronto?
I bet on Nerlens Noel. It's not going to happen. So I'm going to say Anthony Bennett.
I don't think he will be.
Do you have another name?
Because no. Rookie of the Year is not an award that is tied to the team's success. We saw Damon Stoudemire win it here when the team was 21-61. Right? You might see a guy like Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, that'd be great.
Will be on a team where he can do a lot.
Right.
If he doesn't get hurt. I mean, he might be a candidate.
Well, take a look at Philadelphia, too. And you think of just the opportunity to play, right. Albeit on a bad team, you're going to put up numbers. You're going to have playing time and everything else. That's my biggest thing. I don't think Anthony Bennett's a lack of talent. It's the fact that you're likely playing second unit, and are you going to get the minutes, thus put up the numbers, and stand out enough to win that award? He's going to be a heck of a player. Yeah. He's going to have a solid career. I just don't see him as a Rookie of the Year on that team because of who's ahead of him.
Is Greg Oden technically now re-eligible to be Rookie of the Year?
He still hasn't played a rookie number yet.
I want to see the birth certificate, Greg Oden.
Who is the coach on the hot seat in the NBA?
Mike D'Antoni?
They get rid of guys so quickly. That's a great one.
To be fired, I don't know. But for me, it's David Yeager in Memphis.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Dude, you make it to the conference finals and you get rid of the coach.
Right.
And all your analytics, I think, were based on the fact that your coach had people in line, and that's why some of them looked the way they did.
If it's a rough year, off some Jägermeister. That's what that guy will have.
You know,
I think Doc's on the hot seat a little bit,
too. Thank God that wasn't
Horns. Lance, I hate you.
The interesting one might be Scott Brooks, because if you think of that team, as good as they've been, they've got to take that ultimate next step. Now, they were in a final, and they didn't win it, but, you know, in this league, how many good coaches? I mean, George Karl is not coaching right now. If you don't win...
Just get it.
Seven of the 13 new coaches this year are taking over playoff teams from last year.
But 13 new coaches. It's just the we can't even talk about the hot seat anymore, because as soon as you get near the hot seat, you're gone.
Well, the one guy with a coach killer on his team, Kevin McHale in Houston. Watch him. Their standards are very high this year.
Yeah.
Very high.
I think he might be able to relate to Dwight.
Okay. I think you're right, but I don't think the patience level in Houston is very high right now.
I wish we could have more time for a rapid fire, but let's get your final. This blew by. Your final. And I hate putting people in prediction spots, because I understand it. There are plenty of caveats.
I love every second of it.
However, if all goes to plan, your final would include
Miami and OKC.
Miami and Houston.
Ooh. One day McHale's on the hot seat. The other day they're going on the finals.
He's got a ring.
Consistency.
There's part of me that wants to pick Indiana.
He's covered both ways.
There's
you know
part
he's
of me
genius,
that wants
right?
to pick Indiana. But I'm going to go with Miami. And there's another part of me that really wants to pick Golden State.
No.
Part of me. I said part of me.
Just a little part.
Your baby toenail.
Small part.
Do it, Jonesy. Do it.
Pick Golden State. Do it. Come on. Golden State.
And the Clippers.
Wow.
That's a brave thing after last night, man.
One game, Sid.
Nah, I don't know. I don't usually overreact, but I think they're out of the playoffs.
What? Hold on. Sid doesn't overreact.
So I keep a level head on this show.
This was very fun, boys. Have a great call tonight. Celtics and Raptors. You can listen to it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks, boys.
These two dudes will be calling it. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Paul Jones, Eric Smith. A Raptor season is 3 hours away from commencing. Let the games literally begin.
Could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate it.
Creature of habit, Tim. Primetime Sports, Bob McCown is next. You've been listening to Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360.